I'm going to read from God's Word this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and it's on page 301, and George is going to come and read for us from chapter 30. And what is happening is that David has been, three weeks back, we were thinking about David, and David had, he'd gone a bit astray. And he'd found himself in a bit of a predicament. He was in the land of the Philistines. He was fighting for the Philistines. But God had delivered him from that. And he has been allowed to leave. And this is what then happens in chapter 30, page 301.
David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs, and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, "Who do you belong to? Where do you come from?" He said, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerethites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." David asked him, "Can you lead me down to this raiding party?" He answered, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them." He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Amen.
There are times in our lives when perhaps disaster strikes It can come in different shapes and forms. We perhaps hear bad news at the doctor's, or someone we love is seriously ill, or we perhaps lose our job. And when such things happen, we can struggle to know how we're going to cope, how we're going to get by, how we're going to survive. Because the pain is real, and the pain is severe, and sometimes there are no answers as to why. And this is in some ways what David faces in this chapter. Early in the chapter, he returns to his family at Ziklag. David, he's been living in with the enemy. He's been living with the Philistines. And he's actually been fighting for the enemy. He's been fighting for the Philistines. And he was in danger of having to fight for the Philistines against the Israelites, against his own people. But he's been delivered from that. And he's been sent on his way. And he decides to go home. He decides to go home to Ziklag to see his family. And he and his troops, his people, his army, they're coming to the end of a 60-mile journey roughly. And they've had a long time away from family and friends, and as they're walking towards the end of their journey, you can imagine the kind of feelings that they have. They're no doubt relieved about the way things have worked out. Things could have been pretty bad. They could have been at this moment fighting against their own people, but God has somehow intervened in that, so that's not happening. And so they're relieved about that, but also they can't wait to get home. Only 10 miles, only 5 miles. We'll soon be able to see our loved ones, to see our children. We'll soon be able to be home. But as they return home, they find that something is disastrously wrong. For disaster has struck. There is no rushing out of their loved ones from the town in order to greet them because there's nobody there. All that they can see as they see their homes is smoke that's coming from the shell that has been left of their homes. Ziklag has been raided. Possessions burnt, homes burnt to the ground, families taken away. And as you can imagine, the distress is immediate and it's actually overwhelming. We're told that the men just wept. Wept aloud until they had no more strength to weep. That's a lot of weeping. But for David, it was even worse because some of the men, they blamed David. He's their leader after all, and he's the one that's led them away. He's the one that left their families there, and why have they been away for so long? And why had they been fighting for the Philistines in the first place? Why had David not left someone to protect their families? Why had he allowed this to happen? He was the leader. He should be called to account. He should take some of the blame. It's always good to have someone to blame. And they're even talking of stoning him out of their anger, out of their grief. Disaster. What does David do when disaster happens? Well, there are certain things that he doesn't do. He doesn't, in our passage anyway, he doesn't look to himself to find the strength to cope. That, in a sense, is what he had done in the past when he had went to Gath and he'd got himself into a bit of a mess. Remember what we were told, that he thought to himself, Saul is going to get me. He listened to himself. I'll sort this. I'll have this, find the strength from somewhere in order to get by. But he doesn't do that on this occasion. Perhaps because he realized he didn't have any strength left. He didn't have the answers. But he also doesn't seem to blame God for what's happened. Temptation must have been to blame God. The people, his men were blaming him, so why doesn't he blame God? How could God do this to me and my family? How could he have left me in this place? I've had enough troubles over the years, and here's even more. But he doesn't seem to do that. In fact, it was quite the opposite. For we're told in verse 6, which is kind of the pivotal verse, or one of the pivotal verses in the chapter, told in verse 6 that as he sat there in the ruins of his home, and with his men threatening to kill him, that he found strength in the Lord his God. He found his strength in the Lord his God. Yes, it seemed that he had drifted away from God in previous chapters, but now in his distress, in his grief, in his powerlessness, in his weakness, he finds strength in God. What does this mean? What does it mean to find his strength in the Lord? What does it mean to find our strength in the Lord when the bottom seems to fall out of our world? Well, there are two or three kind of aspects of this, one of which is already up on the screen. And that is that he found strength in the Lord, in his Lord, by remembering, no doubt, who his God was. As he sat there amongst the rubble, he found strength in his God by reminding himself of the God that had been his shepherd. The God that was his shepherd. He remembered that this God that he followed wasn't a small God who could be defeated and who was unable to help. He didn't have a God who was careless and forgetful and would forget about him. He didn't have a God who would fall asleep and would slumber, who was powerless and unable to help. No, he remembered, I've got a God who is my shepherd, and I'll not want. He will lead me, and he'll be with me even in the valley of the shadow of death. And no doubt, as he thought about this God, as he thought about his God, the God that he knew personally. Perhaps he drifted away from him a little bit, but it was a God that he still knew personally. He remembers that he is a God who is mighty, a God who is able to help, a God who was watching over him and loved him and would help him. How did he find strength in his God? He found strength in his God by remembering who his God was. We have a God who is our shepherd. We have a God who never slumbers or sleeps. We have a God who is sovereign, who's all-knowing and all-seeing. We have a God who has conquered death. We have a God who we can find our strength in. He remembered who his God was, but he also found strength because by remembering the promises of God. A few weeks ago, when we were thinking about David, we were thinking about his friendship with Jonathan. It's probably all forgotten because it's so long ago. But he had this friendship with Jonathan where he knew, it was a good friendship, a friendship where they built one another up. And there was an incident there where Jonathan comes to David, and David is going through another time of difficulty. He kind of goes through a lot of times of difficulty. And so that makes him very human, because we do that. And he was struggling in his faith, and he was struggling to trust, and he was struggling to find his strength in the Lord. And David and Jonathan comes along, and we're told that Jonathan strengthened his hand in the Lord. And the way that he did this was that he reminded David of the promises that God had given him. He reminds David of the promise that God had given him, that he would be the king of Israel, that he'd be the anointed one, and that his God would be faithful. And no doubt the same is true here. David finds his strength in the Lord in this terrible predicament by reminding himself of the promises that God had made to him. He found security in the promises of God. And that can be true for us too, when we are in the depths. So many promises or assurances in the Bible that are there for us. Promises that are there to encourage us, to help us to find strength in God in days of despair, in days perhaps of turmoil. It's a promise of his presence with us. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, God says to Joshua. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, I'll be there. There's a promise of his help in times of trouble. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will maybe give you rest. I'll possibly give you rest. No, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. And of course, there's the promise of eternal life. Christ has risen. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. I'm convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. I think he's trying to cover everything there. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Promises, assurances that remind us of who God is and his faithfulness towards us, that we can take hold of and so find strength in God. I feel weak, I feel lost, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I don't have any answers, but all I can do is I can hold on to who I know God to be and the promises that he's made. And in doing that, we find strength in the Lord. Finally, David found strength in the Lord by seeking his guidance and help. We're told in verse 8, David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. And you might think, well, that's obvious, isn't it? He inquired of the Lord. Of course he did. Of course he did. But he didn't do that when he went to Gath. The Lord's not even mentioned. He was afraid. And he decides, well, I'll listen to myself. I'll not inquire. There's no talk of inquiring of the Lord. He just goes and does his own thing. But in this chapter, when he listens to God and he talks to God about his situation. In the disaster that he finds himself, he doesn't just want to do his thing, he wants to do God's thing. He inquires of the Lord, talks to him. And his God doesn't let him down, and we read in the chapter of how the people were delivered for him. But it begins with him inquiring of the Lord, talking to him. It's funny, isn't it? Or maybe it's not that funny. But it is funny how sometimes God is the last one that we go to in times of difficulty, in times of stress. We might try everything else. We worry through the night. We try and fix it ourselves. And we might do that for a while. And then eventually we think, perhaps I should take it to God. And we do it. And we know something of that peace, and we know that he is with us. We've, In a sense, we've found strength in the Lord, and we know the promise of his guidance. And we think to ourselves, why did I not do that a month ago? We don't need to do it alone. We can inquire of the Lord. We can go to him. We can seek his guidance. We can seek his presence. We can seek his help. Maybe this morning is a time when you do just that in what you are facing. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. David strengthens himself in the Lord by remembering who his God is, by remembering God's promises to him, and by seeking his help. I don't know what's going on in everyone's lives here today, but it might be that to some degree or another, that you're experiencing something of what David was experiencing, some perhaps more than others. And the chances are, if you're sitting here going, well, no, everything's rosy with me, the chances are that at some point in the future, you will be in a situation a bit like David found himself here. For many of us, there may be some kind of turmoil in our lives. And it might be that we've been trying to deal with it on our own. But we've got the opportunity of finding our strength, not in ourselves, but in God himself. May we, whatever we're going through, whatever we might go through in the future, find strength in the Lord, our God. Let's pray together. Father God, in times when life feels overwhelming and our strength is gone, help us to find our strength in you. Remind us of who you are. Our shepherd, always with us, mighty, faithful, full of love. Bring to our hearts your promises that you are our refuge, our help, our rest. Teach us not to rely on ourselves, but to seek you, to trust you, to follow your guidance. Whatever we face, help us to stand firm in you, our hope and our strength. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.